Welcome to No Longer Conformed. We are continuing our study in the book of Acts. In this session, we'll be looking at Acts chapter 25, verses 1 through 22, Paul on trial before Festus. Now, go back for a moment to chapter 24 and verse 27, where it reads, "But after 2 years, Porcius Festus succeeded Felix, and Felix, wanting to do the Jews a favor, left Paul bound." 2 years after his trial before Felix, the Apostle Paul was still sitting in jail awaiting a judgment. Verse 22, it says, "But when Felix heard these things, having more accurate knowledge of the way, he adjourned the proceedings and said, 'When Lysias the commander comes down, I will make a decision on your case.' That time never came." It seems the time never came in another way as well. Felix and his wife Drusilla were interested, but as Paul preached the truth of the gospel, the governor cried out in verse 25. Now, as he reasoned about righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come, Felix was afraid and answered, "Go away for now. When I have a convenient time, I will call for you." Whoa, stop the sermon. Why? He was afraid because of conviction. By the way, notice the response of Drusilla. There was no response. No conviction noted. The gospel affects one and misses another. That's just the way it is. Depends on whether the heart is ready to receive it or not. The time never came. I believe it was because of Felix's greed. He probably intended to call Paul back, but eventually lost the conviction. The governor became prey to the lure of greed. However, his greed was never satisfied. And he never received or even sought forgiveness of sin. In the end, Felix abandoned the apostle to another. Ultimately, Governor Felix used the Apostle Paul as a sinful play for the Jews. A new leader arose, and with him, another trial. Look at chapter 25, beginning with verse 1. "Now when Festus had come to the province, after 3 days he went up from Caesarea to Jerusalem. Then the high priest and the chief men of the Jews informed him against Paul, and they petitioned him, asking a favor against him, that he would summon him to Jerusalem. While they lay in ambush along the road to kill him, but Festus answered that Paul should be kept at Caesarea, and that he himself was going there shortly. Therefore, he said, 'Let those who have authority among you go down with me and accuse this man to see if there is any fault in him.' Festus went to Jerusalem, and the Jewish leaders presented an appeal. 'Look, this is our problem with Paul. Do us a favor and try him here. We really don't want to go to Caesarea to try this case. Besides, you're here in Jerusalem. Just make an order to have him brought up.' They had a plot to kill the apostle. Before, it was 40 zealots doing the dirty work. But they were desperate enough to carry it out themselves now. 2 years had readied them. Time caused bitterness to grow in its strength. Festus had pride as a Roman leader. You go to him. He doesn't come to you." Verses 4 and 5 reveal a certain amount of doubt to see if there is any fault in him. God supernaturally used Festus to save Paul. Proverbs chapter 21 and verse 1 clearly says, "The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. Like the rivers of water, he turns it wherever he wishes." So, let us take a look at the new trial, beginning in verse 6 of Acts 25. "And when he had remained among them more than 10 days he went down to Caesarea. And the next day, sitting on the judgment seat, he commanded Paul to be brought. When he had come, the Jews who had come down from Jerusalem stood about, and many made serious complaints against Paul, which they could not prove, while he answered for himself, "Neither against the law of the Jews, nor against the temple, nor against Caesar have I offended in anything at all." The same case was presented by the Jews against Paul before Festus, as was made before Felix. And Paul defended himself, and they couldn't provide any evidence. And yet again, we see an undecided judge. Verse 9. But Festus, wanting to do the Jews a favor, answered Paul and said, "Are you willing to go up to Jerusalem and there be judged before me concerning these things?" Festus was attempting to get rid of the problem. So Paul once again invoked his Roman citizenship. Verse 10. So Paul said, "I stand at Caesar's judgment seat where I ought to be judged. To the Jews, I have done no wrong, as you very well know. For if I am an offender or have committed anything deserving of death, I do not object to dying. But if there is nothing in these things of which these men accuse me, no one can deliver me to them. I appeal to Caesar." Then Festus, when he had conferred with the council, answered, "You have appealed to Caesar. To Caesar you shall go." Verses 13 down to verse 22 are a very rarely seen glimpse into Rome's heart. Festus explained Paul's case to King Agrippa. Verse 13. And after some days, King Agrippa and Bernice came to Caesarea to greet Festus. When they had been there many days, Festus laid Paul's case before the king, saying, "There is a certain man left a prisoner by Felix, about whom the chief priests and the elders of the Jews informed me when I was in Jerusalem, asking for a judgment against him. To them I answered, 'It's not the custom of Romans to deliver any man to destruction before the accused meets the accusers face to face, and has opportunity to answer for himself concerning the charge against him.'" Translation: Felix left me one of his problems. The Jews want me to condemn him. But that's not the way of Rome. No execution without judgment. No judgment without a trial. No trial without charges. An accused gets to face his accusers. Roman law must prevail. Verses 17 to 19 reveal Rome's politics. "Therefore, when they had come together without any delay, the next day I sat on the judgment seat and commanded the man to be brought in. When the accusers stood up, they brought no accusation against him of such things as I supposed, but had some questions against him about their own religion and about a certain Jesus who had died, whom Paul affirmed to be alive." Rome, you see, generally allowed local rule and process unless there was a threat to the Pax Romana, the Roman peace. It was pure empire thinking. Let them rule themselves, and as long as they paid their tribute or taxes, and everything's fine, as long as they obey the laws of Rome. Keep the peace. And unless there's something that breaks that, there's no reason to get involved. Festus was ready to return the case to the lower Jewish court for judgment. But Paul appealed to Caesar. Verse 20. "And because I was uncertain of such questions, I asked whether he was willing to go to Jerusalem and there be judged concerning these matters. But when Paul appealed to be reserved for the decision of Augustus, I commanded him to be kept till I could send him to Caesar." King Agrippa expressed an interest in hearing Paul's case, so a third trial was set. Look at verse 22. "Then Agrippa said to Festus, I also would like to hear the man myself. Tomorrow, he said, you shall hear him. Felix was indecisive. Festus was indecisive. Either could have condemned Paul to death. Either could have sent the problem back to Jerusalem. Or could they have? Again, Proverbs 21:1 is the answer to those questions. The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. Like the rivers of water, he turns it wherever he wishes. Psalm 91 speaks loudly. Verse 14, because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Listen, follow Paul's example. As a Christian, as a servant of the Lord, follow Paul's example and trust God to deliver you in trouble and from trouble. You have a great day.